Morav Raboy said tonight, Shir should be lefuah shleim in the schus of Rav Reb Yosef Chai ben Rochel, who should have lefuah shleima bekorev. And also the schus and lefuah shleima of Yudaleib ben Sora ben Basha, and amongst all the cholim in Klal Yisrael. Okay, Rabbi said we're going to be having tonight a bit more halachas on Tilas Yadayim. A few interesting points about washing hands. And a little bit later we're going to be having this week's Dvar Torah by Rabbi Tepper. And as we're at it, we're going to find somebody who's going to volunteer as well for next week's Dvar Torah. We haven't heard...
Usually the guest, I mean the new...
Yeah, you have a week to prepare, why not? Okay, good. So maybe Mr. Berlin.
It's a nice idea,
Nathan.
Thank you.
Mr. Berlin, I think it should be your turn again. Yeah, okay. I think it was a long while. Are we on? I am. I'm in the middle of. Okay, thank you very much. You know, shtiki koi dog kind of thing. If you don't say no, then it means yes. Okay, are we? Yes, thank you very much. We're looking forward. Good. Okay. Now, gentlemen, interesting shaila. What if somebody forgets to make the boat? We mentioned yesterday that there's two reasons why we wash our hands. Ad according to the Rosh. What did the Rosh say? Why? What's the reason? Why do we wash hands?
Touching.
And then we saw the Rashba's reason as well. Why do we make a big bracha? Why do we wash? Yeah, Chadosha, Kohen Gadol, etc. The question is, what if somebody forgets to make... He forgot to make a bracha. He forgot to make a bracha. So he washed his hands, but he totally forgot to make a bracha. Only in the afternoon, before Milchay, he said, oh, actually, I forgot to make Alan Tilas Yadayim. I forgot to make that bracha. I want to know, that's a very extreme case. What if he remembers after Shachis? Whoa, I totally forgot. I didn't make the bracha on Tilas Yadayim. So my question is, what's the latest stage a person can still make the bracha of? What's the latest time a person can still make a bracha? Mishabu says, "Im lo yberech al tilas yadayim, kodem atfilah shuv leivorech achat atfilah." Can make the bracha al tilas yadayim until after davening. When you finish davening, you cannot make the bracha anymore. You cannot. The bracha has only been. The latest you can say is after davening. Oh, very good. So yeah, so Chaim Kanevsky explains these words of the Mishnah Berurah, saying that it's talking about after Shemoneh Esrei.
So really, you can only say Sukkot Zimra.
I suppose, yeah. No, after that, you're messing. Yeah. Okay, now, but this is the latest time. Rather than discussing a messed up scenario, let's discuss the ideal scenario. And that is, when is the right time? When exactly do you recite the bracha? And what is it exactly? That we know that. Now, what stage exactly is the right time to berach? So Mishnah Berurah Sifkoten Beis runs through it. So that's Ve'yivorech in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkoten Beis. Umiyad, achar netila, straight after washing one's hands. Okay, I mean Siman Dalet, Sifkoten Beis. Umiyad, and immediately, achar netila, after washing one's hands. Yivorech, you should make the bracha. Abayisai, you make the bracha after washing your hands. And you do not need to wait until the drying. And also, if you didn't dry your hands, it does not matter. You could recite the bracha with wet hands. There are some stringent opinion, and that is an important opinion. It is a stringent opinion. No, some stringent opinion says, no, you cannot make a bracha as long as your hands are wet. You've got to dry them before reciting the bracha. So some say wet hands, no problem. Some say wet hands is a problem. Because the stringent opinion holds that the Ruach Ra, what's the Ruach Ra? The bad spirits only disappear when your hands are dry. Whilst they're still wet, there is still some elements of Ruach Ra. So it's not right. You can't make a Baruch Baruch HaTosh. You washed your hands, you know, according to the Rosh, according to the Ashba, very nice. And your hands are still wet. But your hands are still wet, and there is uracha, so it's wrong to make a bracha at that stage. Even the stringent opinion will hold it, but it's better, surely, to remove the uracha before reciting a bracha. Others hold that it's not a problem at all, but it's.
Does that matter how many times on your
hand? We'll get to that. That's a later halacha. We'll get to that. We'll get to how many times you should actually pour water over your hands. We'll get to that. I doubt tonight, but we'll get to that. Now, the Kosav Seder, yeah, now that's an interesting additional point over here. Kosav Sederim, have you ever heard of this halacha? The Seder Hayoim writes, Shelo yiga b'malbushov ad shi'itol, do not touch your clothing before washing your hands. Have you heard of that? Do not touch your garments before having washed your hands. Heard of that?
Rabbi,
yeah.
But if you're getting out of bed in your pajamas, you're washing your hands, can you make the bracha? Isn't it immodest or something? So don't you wait till you get dressed. You wash your hands, wait till you get dressed, and then make the bracha.
So, the answer is that some people will, because of this Mishnah Berurah that we mentioned now, some people will ensure, partly because of that, they will ensure to wash their hands straight away upon waking up by having negel vasa right next to their beds, thereby allowing them to wash their hands before actually touching any pajamas. However, to be perfectly honest, I'm going to add the next four words in the Mishnah Berurah in the name of Rabbi Avon. Over Gemara loy mashmakin, the Gemara, it sounds like there is no problem of touching your garments. Washing hands.
So before,
in those days, they got that. Yeah, that's right, as well. Yeah, Gemara mashmakin. Now the Mishnah Berurah, the Gemara Brachos tells us, Mishnah Berurah continues, something for the more royal of us, very relevant. Al titul chaluk roshachas miyad hashamash v'tilbash. Do not take your chalukcha, don't take your garments from your attendant, from your servant, v'tilbash, and get. Don't take your garments from your attendant and then get dressed. Mishum sakonas mazikin, because of potential mazikin, which we call a.
Danger,
demons. Yeah. Rather, take it yourself. Where it's hanging, where it's maybe placed. So, in other words, don't ask your gabba, your shamish, your attendant, your servant. Coming with your trousers. Would you like to put it on? No. Rather, you've got to take it yourself and actually physically put it on yourself. If by the Gemara seems to be saying that, so the Mishnah Berurah, that if you're actually accepting it from somebody and only then get dressed, that would be dangerous. For most of us, our attendants are generally outside of the room anyway, so it's not such an issue. Yeah, but if your attendants would be, yeah, so but it is a problem. It is because Mazikin. Now the Mishnah Berurah continues with something which is Gemara. Amrino be Gemara. Reichetz Adam Panav Yadav Viraglav Bechol Yoim. Person should wash his Panav, his face, Yadav, his hands, Viraglav, his feet, Bechol Yoim, Mishum Kvoid Koine. Because the honor, you're about to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're about to be a faithful, loyal servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you want to wash your hands, your face, and your feet in order to do that, in His honor. Which ones do we do of that? We certainly do the hands. We also do the face. What about the feet? Not really. So is that a problem or not?
You must wash your feet at least once in 24 hours.
Yeah, but not in the morning necessarily.
No.
Right, so he's talking about in the morning, before you serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you should really wash your hands, your face, and your feet. So about the feet, he says the following addition. In our countries, for us nowadays, that we generally are not barefooted, but we normally protect our feet. So therefore, Enzorach Lichud, Zagel of Shachis, it comes out, it makes a lot of sense, that there is no real requirement to wash our feet before Shachis, because our feet don't tend to be as dirty. So, yes, in principle, feet, hands, and face, but for us nowadays, our feet are normally protected and covered, there is no need to wash them before Shachis. Now, yeah. Yeah, now, now the Mishnah Berurah is going to address now a fascinating question, which is very important on Shavuos night for many, as well as other times, which is the following question. We understand that Chachamim established a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. So Chachamim established, you got to wash your hands and you make a bracha when you wash your hands in the morning. Okay, we saw two reasons for that. Two and a half reasons for that. Now, the question is, what about if somebody does not sleep during the night? So Shavuos may be a good example, or traveling. Sometimes people travel through the night and they're not sleeping, or what else? So you've got a baby that cries through the night, or what else? You just didn't sleep, you worked through the night, I don't know.
It's not that long in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. And you just you said, you know what? I'm going to daven. I'm going to daven now. And you're about to daven, and now the question is: I know many brachas are not a problem, but I want to look at bracha of Ash al Netilas Yadayim. Is there a problem, or is there no problem in now making al Netilas Yadayim? Can I, in other words, at the end of the Shavuos night, before he goes to daven? It's nets. What time is nets in Shavuos time? It's like really, really early. Yeah. What time is nets? Yeah. So now, does he need to just? Can he just go out, wash his hands, make a bracha, and get on with it? Or is there a problem? Even if he washes his hands, there's no real requirement, and he can't really make a bracha on this netila. Can you not make a bracha on Netilas Yadayim after having a sleepless night?
You wouldn't have to wash your hands.
So wash your hands, but you make a bracha. Yeah?
If you don't wash your hands, then you
don't
need to say the
bracha. You don't need to say the bracha. What did you say?
But you also start a new day.
Oh, so you're saying it is the start of a new day. So therefore, according to that reasoning, so you're starting of a new day, so you can make a bracha.
I want to bring a thing out like that.
What's the duke?
You can the lesson of the Mishnah Berurah. He says, in the reason of the Rashba,
Achashena, very good. Okay, the good news is you don't have to be medak to Mishnah Berurah, because Mishnah Berurah speaks in great detail about this. You're right. Yes. Yeah.
Rabbi, but surely you're saying it's not technically a new day because the day started in the evening, because we go by evening. So how can we say the new day technically has already started in the evening?
Yeah. So you are right in terms of dates and days. You're right. But for him, for a normal human being that will be up during the day and sleep during the night, it's still considered a fresh morning, a new day, a new days of work. So it's true that halachically speaking, our days start by night. This is correct. But that's in terms of dates. But in terms of, you know, the day-to-day work, the day starts in the morning. Now, Rabbi Isai, so let's... Yeah, and then? And can you make the bracha? You can make the bracha?
Yes.
Well, but one second here. Going to the toilet itself is not sufficient reason to make Al Netilas Yadayim. And the proof of that is that if a person is being excused throughout the whole day, he will make Ashayotza, but he will not say Al Netilas Yadayim. So the fact that a person is being excused, that's not good enough reason to make Al Netilas Yadayim. Yeah. Yeah, correct. So how do we look at, how do we deal with Al Netilas
Yadayim? I think it's Rosh's reason, though.
So that would be fine. Yeah, but it's a good svara. It's definitely good. But is this good enough? Because a person who touches, uncovered areas during the day, he will not make after Al Netilas Yadayim. So we're trying to investigate what is this about the morning that allows us to make a bracha, The bed without smoke. That it's a new. The fact that he slept, slept not.
The fact that he didn't sleep didn't change them tears.
So the fact.
That's why we say Krishna, the Brahma.
Very good. If whether a person slept or not slept, you're saying, at the end of the day, it's a new day. If it's a new day, so whether he slept or not, it makes sense to make the bracha.
We also couldn't have the same thing to do with Ayn Rand. The Ayn Rand might still be shaking on his hands because he's not sleeping.
The Ruach is what? Is that.
Might still be shaking on.
Yeah, but the Ruach itself, again, is not the reason why we make the bracha. The two reasons that we have it, either because the person's hand is askonias, they're touchy, and he will have touched uncovered areas of his body, and the other reason is Gberi Chadosha. So the Ruach Ra element, that's something which is, for that itself, we don't make a bracha. So now the Mishnah Berurah discusses this, it's an extended discussion in the Achronim. And he says as follows: Kasa prima godim on the top line of Mishnah in page 16. Kasa prima godim lefitam de berich hadasha. According to the reason of berich hadasha, would you expect that or not? If a person was awake the whole night, oz loy nase berich hadasha, because it's not being made a new berich hadasha. Why not? Yes, because we're sleeping, yeah. And yochel berich hashiyotza, you don't make hashiyotza in lo satzu achov. That's what he says.
So sleep in the day doesn't mean
correct. Yeah. That's what Mishabu says over here. Now there is more to be discussed, but I'm I'm conscious of the time, and I want Rabbi Tepper to have his advice. So we'll be discussing this in greater detail with Hashem next week, because it's an important point. And we'll look at this image on Sunday in greater detail. Bez Hashem, there's also an interesting dialogue on this. Okay, over to you.
Okay, so I wanted to try, if possible, to link something we've been learning about recently with the parsha. Now, that wasn't so easy because it's not really a very solid link, I'll be honest. It's a bit tenuous, but I will try and link it. It's Dava Ba'ita Manaya. It's nice to put the ideas together. So I'm going to speak Be'ez Hashem Be'inyan Gilui HaRosh, wearing a couple on the head, which we learnt in the Simon base, and we saw in Sivov over there the Lashon of the Mechaber. Also Leilich B'koymo Zekufa, first of all, he brings that din. B'lo Yeilich Arba Amos B'Gilui HaRosh. He shouldn't go 4 amos without Gilui HaRosh. So I saw, brought 3 different reasons for this. The Ramah says that it's to do with Kovod HaShechina, which is above your head. There's a Gemara there that supports that notion. The Gemara in Shabbos, which the Mishnah Berurah seems to refer to, is to do with Moir Shamayim, which is fear of heaven, which is above your head. You're reminded of that when you wear a kippah, because with the mice of the child that we mentioned in the Shir. And finally, there's the Taz, which we also spoke extensively about, which is Chukas HaGoy, that the Goyim remove their head coverings as a sign of respect. They actually still find that when there's news of someone dying, they often. You see that they take off their hat, those who wear a hat, that's not so common these days, but in the olden days that was very common, that they remove their hat on hearing that sort of news. So Chuk HaZagoy would dictate that we shouldn't remove our head covering. So the question is then, when is there a requirement to cover one's head? And this will depend a little bit on the reasons that we've stated. According to the Taz L'Choira, that should always apply. Chuk HaZagoy is Chuk HaZagoy, you can't really get around it. Although we will see, it's not so straightforward. According to the other reasonings, there may be situations where it's not so obvious that it's required. So, for example, the Ramah, that's because of covered Shechina, so the Prisha brings on that reason that that's a Midas Chasidus. It's not Me'ikah Din that you have to cover your head to do with that. I'm not quite sure of the explanation behind that, but those are the words that he uses. The Rabbeinu Peretz mentions that when going to Beis HaKnesses, then you are required to wear a head covering. And similarly, when saying Divrei Torah or Brochas, Devarim Shebekedusha, that would also require you to cover your head. Now, the question is this. The Mishnah Berurah, so we sometimes find people, you know, we spoke a bit about that in Shir as well, covering your head with your hand if you don't have something else to cover with. So here, the Mishnah Berurah says that's not effective when you're making a bracha off a divrei Torah. However, we see that the fact that it's not effective is lechatzchila, because the Eliyahu Rabba is meikel b'shasa dechak. He brings the example of someone who needs to drink at night and he hasn't got a covering available, and he wants to make a bracha on his drink, so he can be meikel to not cover it b'shasa dechak. So we see that to use his hand to cover his head in such a situation. The Piskei Teshuvas said that what happens if you made the bracha and you realized, oi gevalt, my head wasn't covered, and I already said the bracha. So there he says that you're not chayza, you don't say the bracha again. Bidi Eved, that's a good bracha even without any covering. So we see that it's obviously a lachatchila, but it doesn't seem to be ma'akev Bidi Eved. The Piskei Teshuvas goes even further to say that thinking in Divrei Torah or Kedusha can even be done lachatchila without covering. So that's an interesting hosafa that he makes. We have a Piskei Maharaya that says that a person in a country, lives in a country where the civil law forbids you to wear a head covering in court, which I don't think that's so uncommon. A person can make a shavua in court where in such a situation where it's not legal to cover his head. The B'chor Shor seems to extend this. It's brought in the Shari Teshuva here on the page, that whatever's obvious from what you're doing, that you're uncovering your head because of the activity you're involved in is not asr. So, for example, swimming, going to the mikveh, having a haircut, all those examples would be mutter because it's apparent from what you're doing that's why your head is uncovered. But he adds to that going Dalai Lama's would not be okay, except with the sole exception that he brings there is the Beis HaMelchatz. I suppose there it's obvious that you're going. Now, some of the Mepharshim want to be medayik the wording of the Shulchan Aruch. It says that lo yeleich arba amos. So you have to go and also four amos. So this is where we can link it to our parsha. What about if you're stationary or you're going less than four amos? And also linked to that, Shaila, does a roof or some sort of covering above your head, in that sense, not on the top of your own head personally, but a roof, does that help? So here we have the tenuous link to the parsha. Rivka is riding on the camels when going to greet Yitzchak. She had they had Eliezer and his men there with. So would they have had to cover their heads when they're riding on the camels? It's a bit of a tenuous link, but anyway, we got it in. So when riding, do you need to cover your head? Is it just walking? Literally means to walk. So it's when you're walking on foot. Is that when it's a requirement? Or even riding?
Cycling as well.
Cycling, okay, riding. I don't know if there's any nafkaminas between what you're riding on, but presumably not. And, well, there you have to do it for safety, but anyway. And what about modern forms of transport which usually have a roof? So a train, a bus, a car, a plane. What about those? Does that make it any better? So under a roof is actually a machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah says that even under a roof one should wear, and he's not talking about transport, he's talking about a house or whatever. Even under a roof one has to cover one's head. And the Marashal says that the only issa to go without a couple is under open sky. In a house, it's not asa. And that's connected to the second reason we brought at the beginning of Moreh Shemaim, that somehow a roof leads you to more Shemaim. I'm not quite sure how that works, because there's plenty of people who have no Yer Shemaim and in the house, housemates, they're not coming up. But for some reason, that brings you more to Yer Shemaim. I have seen that that's the case also, I think, for Tefillah. It's better to dabble indoors or at least with the cover than outside. The Olas Tomid says you can rely on that on Be'ez HaTzorech. And the Mishnah Berurah says that covering with one's hand, as he said, it doesn't help before for brachas. He says it does help when you're inside. It seems therefore that the roof does have some benefit to be more makel with regards to that. Now what about going less than four amos? Let's say you're not travelling. More than four amos, he says yes. What about less than four amos? So the Bach says that in the house there's no issa. And he wants to bring a diuk in the order of the halachas that the Shulchan Aruch brings over here. He first says an issa of koma zukufa. And then he says that lo yelech arba amos. So first of all, that sounds like it's not as important. It's only also when you're going, and not when you're still. And it's not actually even brought as an issur, because the Lashon also is going on Kome Zukupa, it says also, and then the Hemshach is just, you shouldn't go for Amos, which sounds like maybe it's not an issur gomor. And therefore he wants to suggest in the Hava Amina that there's no need when you're going less than 4 Amos, unlike Kome Zukupa, which would be also, even if you're going less than 4 Amos. But the Rabbeinu Yonah puts the two dinim together, even less than 4 Amos is also. And the Bach wants to suggest the reason why Arba Amos is mentioned is just because you might have thought that the whole this only applies out of doors, Kamash Olan, even indoors is also. That's how he explains the Lashon of Arba Amos. It is Lav Dafka Arba Amos. Prima Gadam says that coming with your own hand is not effective if you're walking indoors. So that would seem to, that's walking indoors. And in the Maskana, the Bach says that Midas Chasidus to cover your head, but you should be careful even with less than 4 Amos on this Midas Chasidus. And similarly, the Mishnah Berurah says the same thing, that it's Midas Chasidus for less than 4 Amos. Now, the other side that's related, what happens if you're falling asleep on the train or the bus or the aeroplane? That's quite a common thing. So the Mishnah Berurah says even when you're asleep, one should cover one's head. He wants to say, even in Shittas HaTaz, who we wanted to say at the beginning was very machmir to say that should always apply, the Mishnah Berurah's Mesupuk, where the Chukas Agoi applies in when you're asleep. Piskei Teshuva said you could be mechalek maybe between standing or sitting where you are required to lying down where you're not required. I'm not sure what the thing would be to with regards to sitting. You know, when you're on a plane, you're not mamash lying down. Unless you're in the first class seats, that were crying properly. But
can't the pillows count?
So I don't know whether that would be considered sitting or whatever.
Maybe the cushions of the pillows can play there.
Maybe. I'm not sure whether that helps or not. So in the Maskana about riding and modern transport, Taz says riding is like walking in any case. So the point of walking, the notion of lo yeleich, is that you're not in a fixed place. A fixed place seems to be less of a requirement, at least according to some of the shittas that we've discussed. But riding is no better than walking. So that would mean that even on a wagon and you're sitting down, and presumably that even includes covered forms of transport as well.
Thank you very much. Okay, I've always said it was a very good week. I wish you all a very good Shabbos.